What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAFGiving 360's donor-advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, it's Wednesday. We have a couple more days till the weekend, but we'll take you into the holiday weekend on Friday with a roundtable. Jane Duker will be here. State Rep. Steve Butts. And political consultant on my side of the table, David Barklage, will be here all on Friday afternoon. Brad Young is with us tonight. You often hear him filling in for me on 97.1 FM Talk. He's with us to weigh in on several issues. Hello, Brad. How are you this afternoon?
Mark, doing great, sir. Thank you.
Let's kind of start with this creepy situation and tragedy in Minneapolis, because have you taken a look at any of this manifesto or seen the video from this dude?
I've not seen the video, but I have seen, read some of the manifesto, and there's pictures of him writing like "Kill Donald Trump" on his ammo clips, and this, and I'll refer to him as a him, but he obviously has lots of issues here, and it's unfortunate that he has taken out his issues on poor innocent, not just poor innocent children, but children who are in a Catholic school. They're there to learn values. They're there to learn morality. They're there to learn how to live a righteous life. And this guy wades in and kills them. It's awful.
Some of it's just bizarre, too, because at one point in the manifesto, and again, I don't like giving too much attention to this stuff, but I just want to kind of draw some, you know, juxtaposition, if you will. He says, "I think I'm dying of cancer. It's a tragic end as its entirety is self-inflicted. I did this to myself as I cannot control myself. I've been destroying my body through vaping and other means. I think I have lung cancer." Now, there doesn't seem to be any indication that this guy had lung cancer at all. But he goes on to say, "I don't want to throw my life away by rotting in a hospital bed. I don't want the rest of my life to be as a cancer patient." And then it says, "F that. I want to go out on my own means. Unfortunately, due to my depression, anger, and twisted mind, apparently self-aware, I want to fulfill a final act that has been in the back of my head for years." And, you know, that's the shooting. But then he goes on to say, "You are all what kept me going. I find no more interest in anything material. I only have an interest in my mission and my love for my family." He goes on to say, you know, nice things about his family, and then even closes out saying, "I love you, Dad, Mom, Jack, Martha, Teresa, Joel, Jared, Phil, Liam," signs it. And interestingly enough, says, "P.S.T., who I think is maybe Teresa in the family, get over yourself and make up with Mom. She loves you. You need to grow up and accept that time just keeps on blanking moving." So it's a weird, weird manifesto. And then there's the audio. The audio is even weirder than that. Check this out.
Ah.
I mean, there's weird breathing. Oh, there is talking underneath his breath, and it is just bizarre. And people are going to dissect that over and over and over again. I always think that, though, Brad, that it's a better situation when they do take their own life. And in this case, they did. We don't want to give more attention and have this thing drag on in the courts for years and years and years. But again, the other common bond here with some of the other school shootings as of late is it appears as is if Robert, who became Robin, is a trans shooter as well.
Well, here's my initial thought on that. I don't hold the entire trans community responsible for what this man slash woman did. All right. But if you put a white heterosexual male in that shooter's position, then the media wants to cast aspersion on all white heterosexual males.
That's right.
And so that's the double standard to me that jumps off the page. There's not going to be any attempt, nor should there be, to say all trans people are potential massacred shooters. That would be absurd, but it's equally absurd to disparage all white male heterosexuals in the same breath whenever white male heterosexuals do commit these awful acts.
But the common bond, you know, I agree with that for the most part. But what I would say, though, is in the situation with some of these trans cases is the mental illness is so perverse. And, you know, if you go back and you think about what Jamie Reed was talking about in her whistleblower report here a few years ago about WashU and Children's Hospital, one of the things that concerned her greatly and sent her on this mission to get rid of this so-called gender-affirming care and make sure that this child abuse stopped was the degree at which some of these kids were mentally ill. I mean, it was severe, and we're talking about young kids, right? There was the one kid who, you know, this kind of stands out just because it's disgusting and it was, you know, pretty crazy at the time, but there was one kid who was either fantasizing or thinking that they were having sex with a dog. And that somehow turned into, oh yeah, you're just trans, you need some gender-affirming care. When Jamie's opinion was, and I think now we know this from around the planet, that many of these kids, maybe they were gay, maybe they were confused, but maybe they were severely, severely mentally ill. And I think we find that in situations like this. There's no doubt in this case, this person was warped.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And from a liability standpoint, my only concern here is that the family members of these children who were just tragically murdered and the others who were injured, if they attempt to now sue the Catholic school for saying they didn't have sufficient security or whatever, I mean, that's a possible lawsuit that could come out of this, but really it's the result of the person who did it. And you mentioned a moment ago, he or she committed suicide, turned the gun on himself after this event. And I know this sounds cold, but I wish he would do that before he kills or hurts others.
Well, and see,
start with that.
That's the thing about the manifesto. If you read it, it talks about removing himself from the planet. Fine, go for it, dude. Do whatever you think you have to do. You want to go out on your own means. Why does it have to involve killing young children? And I think, you know, it's hard in this situation to say we're lucky because two kids died and their classmates had to see them die and some of their classmates are in the hospital. But for a guy that decided to do this and to start shooting from the outside of the church into the stained glass windows instead of going inside, and I don't know what would have prevented that. This could have been, when I first started hearing about this morning, it sounded like we were going to have dozens dead.
Yes.
And
yes.
You know, again, it's not a good situation. I can't even imagine, I have some audio that I'll play a little later for audio cut of the day, a 10-year-old kid who's in fifth grade. My daughter's in fifth grade describing quite calmly, actually, what happened, but this is going to be something that these kids have to live with for the rest of their lives.
Unfortunately, that's true. And there's going to be far more kids injured than what has been reported because they're going to be having emotional issues, psychological issues, relational issues, issues that could last a lifetime, far beyond the current news cycle's coverage of this story.
It's unfortunate. Brad Young is with us. He is our 97.1 FM Talk Chief Legal Analyst, a partner with Harris, Dowell, Fisher & Young. Very curious about your position. We have not talked about the burning of the American flag. I have always been one to defend that as a constitutional free speech issue. The president's executive order thinks otherwise. I think it's reprehensible and despicable what happens when people burn the flag. But your thoughts about this executive order and whether or not it's nuanced a little bit when it comes to, you know, really the issue of inciting a riot or something along those lines.
Right. And I'll pick up on that in a second. My initial take isn't all that different from yours. When I was in law school, I was of the opinion that burning the flag should be illegal. And then while I was actually in law school, the Supreme Court decided the issue of Texas versus Johnson in 1989, stating that it was symbolic speech. And I got it. I understood it. I didn't like it. Burning the American flag is awful, reprehensible. Put all the adjectives in there that you will. But is it legal? And I have a hard time prosecuting someone for the content of their speech. And here's what's interesting. I'm not going to go too deep in the weeds here, Mark. But after that was invalidated, Texas versus Johnson invalidated 48 state laws that prohibited the burning of the flag. So then the very next year, Congress passed a law in 1990, passed a law that said you can't burn the American flag. That went up to the Supreme Court in 1990 in U.S. versus Eichmann, I believe, and the Supreme Court invalidated that. So when you look at the headwinds against Trump's position here, the Supreme Court has said states can't prohibit the burning of the flag. Congress cannot prohibit the burning of the flag. So why on earth would anyone think that the Supreme Court would be okay with the executive branch prohibiting the burning of the flag? This is destined to be stricken.
Yeah, and that's what I think too. But again, it's another one of those issues that if you polled on it, it's probably 80-20, right?
Oh, sure. And I would be in the 80s saying this, no one should be allowed to prosecute the flag. But listen, the First Amendment is a two-edged sword. And if we want freedom of speech, then we have to deal with the detriments of freedom of speech. And this is simply a great example or a bad example of how speech can go wrong, but it's still protected speech.
So there was an interesting development. I saw this from some of the peeps that I still follow on Twitter from my days in Milwaukee. And Judge Hannah Dugan, who was an elected judge on the Milwaukee County Circuit Court, this became well-documented earlier this year when she helped slide an illegal migrant out of the back door of her courtroom. And there was a development in that case today, wasn't there?
There was. And the development was this. Judge Dugan had essentially filed a motion to dismiss, arguing that she had judicial immunity. And this doesn't even pass the straight face test. but here's her argument, right? I'm glad I'm not her lawyer. Here's the argument. She said that it is within the judicial responsibility of the judge to control how people come and go from my courtroom. So when I directed the illegal immigrant out of the courtroom, that fell within my judicial duties. And the federal court struck that down in a blink of a second, stating, no, that's not within your duties. You actually hid someone and shielded them from prosecution by ICE. That violates federal law. You're going to trial. So that happened. This is going to go to trial. I don't see this being resolved. I don't see her pleading guilty to anything. It's going to go to trial.
Really? So you think it's going to go all the way to trial?
I do, because she's frankly pretty close to retirement age anyway, and I think she wants to be a martyr. And to be a martyr, she's going to take this to trial. Now, the consequences are enormous. She would, if convicted, she's immediately off the bench. She would immediately lose her bar license, so she can't practice law, can't be a judge. But when you look at who this is and the background of her personality, I think she wants to be a martyr, take one for the progressive left team, and go down in flames, trying to argue that it's okay to shield people from being deported because of her beliefs about deportation.
Well, and then something to, like, if you had Tony Evers, the Democrat governor of Wisconsin, could probably, you know, if she does get found guilty, turn that over?
Not at all. This is federal law.
It's a federal case. Oh, that's right. So that would have to come from the president. That's interesting.
I don't see the current president giving her a pardon on that.
No, but this is a fascinating case. I mean, you had this guy, and there's even video of him kind of, you know, sliding out of the courthouse through this non-public exit. I remember at the time thinking that basis that she tried to get this case thrown out for was something that could have significantly, you know, been, and maybe that's an argument that works eventually in trial, that she does have the right to do something like that, and that there was a little bit of nuance to that aspect of the charge. But this judge, Judge Lynn Edelman, who, by the way, was an attorney when I was in Milwaukee 20 years ago, said, no, we're not going for that.
Well, here, let me give a ridiculous example to show what this is comparable to. To me, this is no different than if she lit the chairs in the jury box on fire, lit them on fire, and then claimed, well, I have the authority as a judge to control the temperature in my courtroom, so I was setting the chairs on fire just to alter the temperature. Okay, that's ridiculous. But this also is equally ridiculous. When you're shielding a person from prosecution, you're the judge, for goodness sakes. You're shielding them from arrest And that is not part of your job duties as a judge.
I love that case, though. I want to see her found guilty so badly and see what happens with all that. But that's still something that, because these cases take a while, that's going to, you know, not happen this year, is, I would assume, or is it something?
Oh, it'll be next year. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, yeah. It'll be next year.
All right, Brad Young, you going to the zoo tomorrow night for the home opener or not?
You know, I tried to get tickets right before they sold out, and I just couldn't get them. But I am going to the Cardinals game tonight because I'm excited to see the Cardinals lose again. So I'll be at the game tonight.
You know, Sue and I are choosing to go, and I just kind of called an audible a week ago. I really, really have wanted to see. I've never seen Diana Ross, and she's playing the Muni tomorrow with John Batiste.
Yes.
So I'm going to the concert. I'm going to miss the game. At least I'll miss most of the game. I think it's a 6:30 game. But it's interesting because at first it looked like, you know, we weren't going to know exactly who was going to be the starting quarterback until after this game, and we may still not know that. But he says he's going to do a half by half. So, in other words, we'll have to see if this changes at all based on the score of the game. But Pribula, who's the kid from Penn State that transferred, is going to be the first half starting quarterback. And Sam Horn is going to play in the second half. And look, I'm surprised because the reports that I have from my peeps in Columbia say this is a very, very close, you know, competition. Sam Horn was just written about in the Washington Post because he has a contract with the LA Dodgers to be a pitcher as well. So
Right. We'll
have to see how, you know, this affects him in the spring after he is, if he's the starting quarterback this year. But it's interesting because you don't see this very often. Usually you have one guy, they're going with it, but they're going to split the difference tomorrow night and see what happens. And hopefully, you know, these early games, not that they're going to lose to Central Arkansas, but they always make me so nervous because this should, in theory, with a good team, be a game that's like a 30 point. I don't know what the line is. Do you know what the line is here?
You know, I don't, but you're right. It should be a blowout in the first half. And it may or may not be, but to me, I think all eyes will be on how these quarterbacks do, because that's going to tell us what happens in the future of Mizzou football.
Central Arkansas is an FCS opponent, so they will not have lines, apparently, on that particular game. So there you go. That might be a little different because of who Central Arkansas is. Brad, have fun at the game tonight. I hope they get a victory.
I will. I'll be there.
Oh, he cut out. You cut out there at the end. You said what?
I'll be there with 7,000 of my closest friends.
Okay, I'm glad you got that in. There you go.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option. That's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real-life moments. Maurice's. Oh.
I think it was last Thursday, if I remember correctly, although Sue, I never remember things correctly, but it was either Wednesday or Thursday, we had Olivia Rheingold on from the Free Press. And Olivia, who I love, she's a great reporter at thefp.com. The FP, of course, is Barry Weiss from the New York Times many years ago, who broke off with the gray lady and said, look, what you guys are doing here is not journalism. I'm going to try something a little different and be honest with my readers. She's brought over a great group of reporters, Abigail Schreier, who is, in fact, her partner, who has written some amazing stuff for the Free Press, and also Olivia, who has been a guest many times on the show. So if you remember, the headline of her story was, they became symbols for Gazan starvation, but all 12 suffer from other health problems. So what happened was here is the New York Times did this story, and in their story, and this should not be any surprise to people who follow the New York Times or the legacy media, they had a picture of an 18-month-old boy in Gaza on the front page. And it turned out that that young boy, who was a symbol for a story in the Times about widespread hunger in Gaza, was not simply suffering from malnutrition, but he had pre-existing health issues that affected his brain, his muscle development. So then there was an updated version of the story because people, critics, started calling this out. But of course, the story was already printed in the newspaper for those people who get the print edition, and there was no way to correct it that way. So what Olivia reported was, when the so-called paper of record updated its story with an editor's note 4 days later, it also quietly deleted the mother's claim that her son was born a healthy child. There was still no mention of the boy's brother, because in that same picture, the boy's brother is perfectly healthy in the background. Actually, it was a different picture, but it was the same set of pictures, and it appeared online. So everything was a little questionable, and that wasn't the only thing that happened. So the Free Press and Olivia goes off and they do an investigation. And the way that she told the story, and she got very emotional because, as I'll tell you in a minute, things did not go well for her with even some friends or some colleagues. So what they discovered was there were at least a dozen other viral images of starvation in Gaza that lacked context. You had people who had significant health problems, and you also had some of the most prestigious news outlets in the entire country, including CNN, NPR, The Washington Post, New York Times, that ran with these things with the narrative of, you know, it's the U.S., it's our fault, it's the Israelis' fault that you have these kids that are starving in Gaza. But none of the complications of the medical histories that help explain what they look like. So this starts getting called out. Olivia Rheingold does a story about this. It's a great story. She probably doesn't even get anywhere near the attention that she deserves. And then when she did the interview with me a week ago, she almost cried on the air because what she said was, there was a dear friend of hers, and I think a lot of us can relate with this because we've lost friends or, you know, been distant with friends or family members because of Trump. I know I can say that I'm in that category with a couple of longtime friends that I've been friends with for decades. And Olivia said, you know, during the interview with me, I'm going to get emotional here, because someone who she was very close with took issue with the fact, now think about this and think through this, and I'm going to tell you what the follow-up is, that she factually was reporting on a fact error that the New York Times made, and that they had to correct, and that they did correct. And they went on their Twitter account. Of course, it wasn't the main New York Times Twitter account, but they did the editor's note there as well. So fast forward to today, when they have a, and actually I think it was a couple of days ago when they wrote this, but they had an update to this. And they said, last week, the Free Press ran an investigation into a dozen viral photos published by major international media outlets aimed at depicting starvation in Gaza. All 12 pictures featured distressed Gazans, mostly children. All were skin and bones, and all of them suffered from pre-existing conditions like cerebral palsy or something like that. Crucially, that last piece of information was absent from the captions or the news stories that they accompanied. In leaving out that context, the outlets presented an incomplete story. This is what I describe as, on a regular basis, journalistic malpractice. And one of the ways that journalistic malpractice occurs is in omission. The editors don't want to put something that's very important to the story in there because it blows up their whole narrative. And that's what happened here, right? So rather than typifying the situation in Gaza, these are actually the exceptions, not the rule. But man, I'll tell you what, they were attacked for this. And what Barry and the editors at the Free Press had to write was, "We're proud of the report and the reporters who tracked it down." In doing so, Olivia Rheingold and Tanya Lukyanova, who was the co-author and the co-reporter here, performed a public service by asking and answering a simple question. In a moment of widespread charges by international institutions and news outlets about hunger in Gaza, are these photographs representative? I'll just use a different word. Are they real? More, how is it that journalists failed to scrutinize information coming out of a war zone with an active terrorist group conducting kinetic and information warfare? See, that's a very good question as well, because they love to focus on any information that Hamas puts out. But if Israel and Bibi says something, or if the U.S. says something, it gets, you know, dissected and there's a microscope that goes, and that's fine, by the way. I think journalists should do their job and not accept the word of any country. The problem is the reverse happens. They accept the word of the terrorist organization and they don't accept the word of Israel or the United States. So what Barry and the editors said in this piece, in the editorial, said journalistic outlets love to boast about impact, and this story has had more than its share. CNN updated its piece after our reporting, noting at the top of the story that it had been updated to reflect new information regarding the condition of some of the subjects. So did the Washington Post, issuing a correction to say that it had incorrectly used a year-old photo in its current coverage of mass starvation in Gaza. The Guardian issued no correction, but added one important detail to its coverage that previously featured a child that had cerebral palsy. So this is where it gets interesting. In a normal time, this is the kind of work that would be praised by our peers for getting to the truth of the matter. I mean, think about everything that I just described to you. You had prestigious news organizations, some of the best known on the planet, that were doing a story about starving kids and how they're being starved out by the U.S. and the Israeli and how bad Americans are and how Jewish people are. But then when an organization goes to point out, hey, you guys use photos that are fake or that are a year old or with kids that have brothers that are perfectly healthy because they're eating, but the other brother has cerebral palsy and looks terrible, hey, that's not factually accurate. That is journalistic malpractice. But this is crazy because as they write, they say in normal time, this is time, you know, the type of topic that would be praised. But we don't live in normal times. And this is not how some of our colleagues in the news media saw things. And this is unbelievable to me. To Crystal Ball, the host of Breaking Points, I think that's a podcast, our journalism was, quote, just so disgusting. There was a co-host that compared Olivia Rheingold and the other reporter to Holocaust deniers, saying that a key tenet of Holocaust denial is trying to claim that many of the initial victims or purported victims had other precondition, and that's part of the reason why they died. Now, the editors at the Free Press said those who care about the truth will note that these children were not presented as the initial victims of anything. They were deceptively promoted to reflect the average Gazan, and to suggest otherwise betrays a fleeting relationship with reality. Glenn Greenwald, who is the self-proclaimed free speech absolutist, used to be at the Washington Post. I don't think he's there anymore. But he didn't only argue, and this is surprising because Glenn has actually called out some things related to COVID and other stories that have been, I think, helpful. But didn't only call for censorship, but for a trial at the Hague for the Free Press. Ben Rhodes, who is the former deputy national security advisor for Barack Obama, says that the reporting at the Free Press is sociopathic. One in, you know, this is, I feel terrible for Olivia because she got emotional when she was on the show last week. There was a guy who is named Ryan Grimm, who's the co-founder of a site called Drop Site News, that predicted that Olivia's name will become notorious for a generation because of accurate reporting. accurate reporting. And what they said is, we're confident that our reporters' names will be known, but not for the reasons Grimm and his ilk suggest. They will be remembered for sober, meticulous work in the face of journalists who oppose actual journalism. And here's the real important part of this. There's one important aspect about all the uproar. No one is disputing the facts in the free press. Nobody. They actually have the facts. There's been corrections from the Washington Post, from the New York Times, right? They haven't taken issue with the facts. They take issue with curiosity that points in the wrong political direction. And as they said, in this story, like in all their reporting, it doesn't deny that there's a hunger in Gaza. They cite, you know, the most recent data from the World Health Organization. But the other thing that's interesting is the data from 2 years ago, when it came to the number of kids that died from malnutrition, was almost exactly the same 3 years ago, before the conflict even started. So, look, this is crazy stuff. It really is. And they even point out, and I'm going to take it back to 2014. They're going to say 2020. They said, we've seen this movie before. In 2020, when the activist class declared there was a pandemic of police gunning down unarmed black men, anyone who pointed to stats showing otherwise was branded a racist, right? Or during COVID, when reporters and politicians who questioned the wisdom of keeping schools closed were accused of trying to abet mass death of teachers. Or more recently, very timely, when the question of transgender youth medicine was questioned as settled science until it wasn't. So their point is simple. Shouting down inconvenient facts does not resolve a debate. That is craziness. And for journalists, so-called journalists, to shout down people who are doing actual journalism is just Hall of Fame level journalistic malpractice.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With AllTrails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style.
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Audio cut of the day coming up here in just a couple of minutes on 97.1 FM Talk. Right now, we are joined by our friend Phil Holloway, Fox News contributor, former assistant DA, and former police officer. Also, I see a pretty cool collaboration, Phil Holloway, that you're doing with Megyn Kelly, which on true crime issues, which is fascinating. Let's start talking about that. How are you this afternoon?
Oh, I'm great. I was glad to be with you. Yeah, this is MK True Crime. It's Megyn has this media, MK Media, right? And she started various new shows that have been launching over the last several months, and this is the latest effort, and it's reaching out into the true crime space, and I'm very honored to be a co-host and contributor, and we're looking for great things as we continue to grow.
I have an amazing story that I could pitch to you at some point. My listeners know this story. It really would be a great topic, and it's been covered on an episode of 48 Hours, and there's some other interest from some national sources right now. And I don't think I've ever shared this story with you, and I'll put it in sort of synopsis form because you'll find this interesting from a variety of perspectives. So in 2016, I was getting a phone call. I used to take a lot more calls on my show when I was over on KMOX, and you know, we were talking about the election. That was Trump's first year running for president, and I had a guy who would call the show. His name was Chris. And my producer at the time, Dave Klein, just kind of gave him, because Chris was calling from Farmersville, Illinois, which is about an hour north of here. And he was all worked up about Trump, and he was a big Trump fan. And he started being a regular caller. So Dave gave him the moniker, Phil, of Chris in the Country. And a month before the election, we're talking about things, and I say, he keeps telling me, Trump's going to win. I say, Chris, stop it. He's not going to win, because I, as the smart, you know, the ever-so-smart talk show host, did not see an electoral path for Trump to win. So I bet him on the air. I say, Chris, if Trump wins, you can come in here and you can shave my head. All right. So the day after the election, he's my first caller, and he says, bro, you don't have to shave your head. And I say, Chris, how about if I take you to a Cardinals game? And I totally weasel out of it, right? And people to this day hold that against me. And you know what? They should, because I weaseled out of it. But we became friends. I did take him to that Cardinals game. We became, you know, we didn't see each other a lot, but we would text and we would call. And the Saturday after Thanksgiving, which would be now 4 years ago this Thanksgiving, I get a message on Messenger from his mother, and it says, Mark, are you the Mark on the radio? This is Chris's mom, Chris Smith's mom. He was shot in the head. And what happened was, he was out with a woman up in Farmersville. It was a first date situation, and she had a crazy stalker ex-boyfriend that shot her, assassinated her in the kitchen of his house. He was left for dead with his dog just bleeding out. They found him on Thanksgiving morning. It's a crazy, crazy story. Then eventually the dude who did it, who's in prison, was convicted, tried to put a hit out for him and the detective that was working the case. I mean, the whole thing is nuts. So I want you to keep, I'm going to send you some synopsis of that story, because I don't know if you're in the position to pitch stories like that. But again, it's gotten some national coverage. It's a fascinating case. And look, let's face it, Phil, we all love this true crime stuff, right? We eat it up. It's going to be a very popular segment you're going to do with Megan, and I can see why she's doing it.
Yeah, we're doing it twice a week. It's its own channel. It's its own show. It's separate and independent from her show, and we're looking forward to great things. And I'm sorry to hear about that with your friend, but that does make for, obviously, very interesting content.
But here's what's great about it. He was left for dead. The doctors didn't think he'd ever survive or that he would walk again. His recovery, that's a whole nother story. He's doing motivational speeches now. So he recovered from it. He still does not have complete mobility. He's still got a part of a bullet in his head. But, you know, the story overall is really, really fascinating. And look, you can see this stuff playing out all the time on Netflix or Max or whatever streaming platform. I'm watching this yogurt shop murder thing on Netflix right now. I think it's on Netflix. It's on Netflix or Max, about these murders at the I Can't Believe It's Yogurt in 1991. And that's fascinating. Have you checked that one out, Phil, at all?
No, I'm about to check it out. I'm not familiar with it.
The reason that's interesting is not because of the crimes themselves, but it's because they go into a real deep dive, and I'm sure you have opinions of this, into a very deep dive and analysis of false confessions and how some of these guys really do get pigeonholed into a corner, and they say things that they just didn't do. And the psychology of it is fascinating.
Yes, I'm very familiar with the concept of false confessions, and another similar related concept is people will plead guilty to things they didn't do as well. And so that's very real stuff, and I've covered this in a previous podcast, but that's all very fascinating stuff.
Well, let's talk about something that's just tragic and gut-wrenching, and that's the shooting today in Minneapolis. I think it's miraculous that more people weren't killed. We're learning that here's another Looney Tunes, very, very mentally ill, and apparently a trans shooter in this case. What information have you gleaned here this afternoon? Anything new to talk about?
Well, it is awful, and I too, as horrible as it is to lose two children like this, the potential was there for it to be much worse. But you know, the whole bigger thing to me is, I think in America, we seem to have gotten sideways on something. I think parents, and I think there's some information coming out about the parents in this case who had assisted with and kind of maybe helped and, you know, lended a hand in terms of the whole transitioning thing. Parents who choose, I think, to ignore what is a real mental health issue with their children, they ignore that mental health reality, and they seek to affirm the delusions of their children rather than to treat the mental health problems. I think that is a big piece of this that has to be addressed. We've got to go back the other way. Maybe the pendulum is swinging, but I saw someone in the Justice Department today refer to this as, you know, radical biological movement, right? And it was Harmeet Dillon posted that on Twitter. And I think that we have to realize that it's mental illness. We've got to treat it as mental illness and stop pretending that it's something else. And because we have the mixture of, you know, this hormones, sex hormones given to the opposite gender, a mixture with the psychotropic drugs and the medications. It's just a cocktail of stuff that we're putting in mentally troubled young people. And it's, I think, causing them to just turn into violent monsters.
I said it before, and some of this was so apparent in Jamie Reed when she came out here in St. Louis as a whistleblower. By the way, someone who was married to a trans person, a lesbian married to a trans person who's now detransitioning. When she came out talking about Washington University and Children's Hospital here, which was really ground zero for some of this to take off, and she said specifically one of the things that she was angry about and disappointed in with her colleagues in the medical profession is that they were automatically going to hormones and so-called gender-affirming care and completely ignoring the dramatic and deep mental health issues that were clearly apparent in many of these kids.
And you know, we can't ignore the culpability at a broader level of hospitals, big pharma, because what they do is they get these people hooked on drugs, essentially, or dependent, reliant on drugs, and life, I guess, medical treatments for their entire life. They're never going to be able to stop going to the doctor and having future surgeries and taking medications and all sorts of things. And they do this for profit. And so it's all a radical ideology that's fed by a profit motive. It's sick. It's disgusting. And we've got to start recognizing it for what it is.
Yeah, it's a terrible situation up there. And I guess we're going to know a little bit more because there's a manifesto. Have you looked at I listened to most of it is just images of weapons and cartridges and bullets and just really, really creepy stuff from this shooter.
Yeah, it's bad stuff. It almost makes you think of someone who's maybe possessed by a demon. And I guess in a certain sense, you could say that's applicable here.
Well, I think if you read the manifesto, the person basically admits it, you know, that they're wrapped up in something like that. Phil, always great to have you on. I'm so glad you're involved with Megan's podcast. Is that already kicking off or is it something that's just starting?
Yeah, we're in week four, and you can go to MK True Crime anywhere under that handle, MK True Crime on social media, mktruecrime.com, and you'll hear all the episodes. I'm recording my fourth or fifth episode tomorrow.
Awesome. Great contribution to this show always. I'm sure you're going to be great on that. Thank you, Phil Holloway.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, take care. You know, I don't move around too much during the 3 hours of the show. I sit here at the console, board,
yes.
You know, because I'm the only one on the station that runs my own board because I'm a control freak, right?
Yeah, but it's good.
Yeah, but now that listener has sent the blankets, I sit here with, and Sue's so cute today. She's wrapped up in her pink blanket. I mean,
it's cold.
You have it wrapped around your shoulders because it's 66 degrees in here because I bought a thermometer and we have it in here
yes.
all the time and we can see exactly what the temperature is. So I just had to get up to shout something to Ethan and I have my blanket on and then I was having difficulty with the cable from my headphones twisting around my beautiful blue blanket.
It'll happen.
But I got through it, right? I did get through it. All right, I have a couple things here for audio cut of the day, so let's get started here.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Before we get to the terrible thing that happened in Minnesota, let's talk about this guy who is a Florida sheriff. There's something about these sheriffs in Florida. They're badasses, let me tell you that. And Grady Judd is one of them. And there was an illegal immigrant who was arrested in Lakeland, Florida, yesterday morning after attacking an ICE agent. and there was a fight that ensued. It lasted, I guess, about 5 minutes. The dude ran off. He was later arrested and taken to jail. But here is the Florida Sheriff Grady Judd.
Let me introduce you to Dennis Miranda. Do you notice that he's standing there smiling along with our deputies? He's committed a battery on a federal agent. That is a third-degree felony, except he's illegal, which makes it a second-degree felony. I bet we've wiped the smile off of his face.
Yeah, and he didn't stop there.
Well, I don't think he believes that he's really going to be deported. You see, when he came across the border in 2021 at Chula Vista, Border Patrol caught him. But they did catch and release because that's what the Biden era did. And then in 2024, Galveston Police Department arrested him for DUI and let him go again. Now, Galveston more than likely notified ICE, but at the time it was once again catch and release. Then he failed to show up and Galveston issued a warrant for his arrest. However, it was a local warrant. Once he got outside of the state, he's safe. So what does he do? He comes to Florida. So they've already touched him two times with the system, and the system failed to get him out of this country.
So I thought about something today. Remember when I came back here from my leave of absence and I told you how I was pulled over and that there was a warrant that was attached to my license
yes.
plate? It ended up being a warrant for a failure to pay a ticket for simply not providing insurance. My wife had an incident in Warren County and there was a ticket for not providing insurance. And apparently there was a court date that was set and she didn't show up. So I get pulled over. Because it was me, I wasn't hauled off into cuffs. But the cop was very honest with me. He said, look, if your wife's pulled over for a different reason or if she's in this car, she's going to be, you know, hauled in. Now, we've corrected that situation. Mm-hmm. But think about that just in connection with all these migrants that can do whatever they want. They get arrested
right. And
then they get released. It's utterly ridiculous. Sadly, today we had another shooting at a school, this time at a Catholic school in Minneapolis. Here's the police chief down there talking about the basics of what happened in this case.
Minneapolis police officers responded to a report of a shooting at a mass that was happening at the Annunciation Roman Catholic Church on the block behind me. This worship service was marking the first week of school for children that are attending the Annunciation Catholic School. During the mass, a gunman approached on the outside, on the side of the building, and began firing a rifle through the church windows towards the children sitting in the pews at the mass. Shooting through the windows, he struck children and worshipers that were inside the building. The shooter was armed with a rifle, a shotgun, and a pistol. This was a deliberate act of violence against innocent children and other people worshiping. The sheer cruelty and cowardice of firing into a church full of children is absolutely incomprehensible.
So two people were killed. Of the 17 injured, 14 were children, ranging in age from 6 to 15. There were three parishioners that were in their 80s that are also in the hospital, but everyone's expected to survive, which is good. This is a person that was known at first for 17 years of his life as Robert Westman, had a change that his mother approved a few years ago, going to Robin Westman, has left a long, long video that was posted this morning and also a manifesto. And then this just really stood out just because this kid is the same age as my daughter. He's in fifth grade. He's 10 years old and had to witness this.
We just got into mass and it was like 3 minutes after. It was very scary. It was like my friend got shot in the back. He's in the hospital right now. I think he's going to be okay. And then my friend Victor, he was like laying on top of me, like making sure I was safe, and he got hit. So that was really brave of him. I'm just like confused kind of because I never thought it would happen, and it just happened. So.
I mean, good for him have the ability to even put words together like that. He sounded very mature for his age, but just devastating. We will have more coverage of this, obviously, heading into the evening with Fox News and more tomorrow. We're back at 3 tomorrow afternoon. Sue, have a great night.
You too.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.